This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending the 19th of August 2016. Hello and welcome to the Winchester and District Talking Newspaper with extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle for the week ending the 19th of August, which this week have been edited by Margaret Boyden and Linda Vincent. Your readers today are Margaret Boyden.
Hello.
Tim Hunt.
Hello.
And Albie Minns.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, Keith Vincent. The main headlines this week: call for festival overhaul after event ends in tragedy, £100,000 fine for Left Files fiasco, and brilliant teens helping out at elderly care home. So, Margaret, may we have the story behind the first headline, please?
Calls for festival overhaul after event ends in tragedy. Calls are being made for a complete overhaul of the Boomtown Fair Festival after a weekend of devastation. What should have been a fun-filled event instead saw the death of a teenager, 80 cars scattered in a fireball, and traffic chaos that gridlocked surrounding roads as festival-goers left the site. Now the authorities are being criticised for not doing enough to protect people at the Boomtown Fair, despite reported crime being significantly down. Winchester City Councillor Sue Cook has said organisers must do more. I think the whole Boomtown thing needs a complete overhaul. I have been at meetings before where residents have questioned many things, including safety. Boomtown organisers did not respond when contacted for comment. The death of a teenager from Buckinghamshire was announced on Monday after paramedics were unable to revive her when she was found unconscious in her tent. A next of kin has been informed and an investigation is now underway, although the circumstances were not thought to be suspicious. She is the fourth person to have died during the seven-year history of Boomtown. News of the death came 3 days after a recklessly discarded cigarette sparked a fire that gutted more than 80 cars on Friday. However, Hampshire County Councillor for Itchen Valley, Jackie Porter, said she believed every step is being taken by the organisers to keep revellers safe. I have been chairing the committee for a couple of years that looks at the safety of the public and of the local area, she said. Now, I know at the meetings that everything that could happen has been thought of by the Boomtown organisers and looked at. They even have a 14-bed hospital on site that can deal with nearly everything. However, this year we are unfortunate because someone has died. But the festival was recently given a licence by Winchester City Council to expand, and there is inevitably going to be something like this happen. The licence was granted by the City Council in June, allowing the festival at Matterley Estate to expand its capacity by 10,000. Calls have been made for this licence, along with South Downs National Park Authority's approval for the land to be used for events, to be reviewed. However, a SDNPA spokesperson said, "Our officers visited the event and were impressed with the level of organisation in place. We appreciate that there are short-term impacts to the local community, and as part of our ongoing work with the estate and festival organisers, we'll be joining a review meeting in the autumn to look at improvements for future events." A spokesperson for Winchester City Council said they were unable to comment until after the police investigation had ended, adding, "We will continue to work closely with the festival organisers and other agencies to ensure that public safety is of paramount importance and to try to reduce the risk of tragic events such as this." Nevertheless, Hampshire Police said the number of reported crimes was significantly down on 2015. The force said the total number of crimes reported was 186 as of Sunday evening, compared to 337 at the same point in the last year. Of those, 103 people were arrested for drug possession, with 37 for possession with intent to supply. Almost £79,000 worth of illicit substances were seized, as well as almost £5,000 recovered from the amnesty bins. On the figures, the police report said, this demonstrates that the drugs messaging provided by festival organisers to members of the public before entering and once inside the event, preventative measures such as specialist officers, dedicated security and the police dog unit have helped to reduce the potential supply and use of drugs at Boomtown Fair. The festival also caused hours of traffic chaos with sat-navs routing festival goers into Winchester city centre. Added with commuters heading home, cars were at a standstill in St George's Street, Jury Street, Romsey Road, Chesil Street, Eastgate Street, Garnier Road and Bull Drove. It took some motorists more than 40 minutes to get from Chesil Street multi-storey car park to the M3 motorway.
£100,000 fine for left files fiasco. Hampshire County Council has been branded irresponsible after leaving the personal details of vulnerable adults and children in an abandoned building. The authority was given a £1,000 fine after social care files and 45 bags of confidential waste was found in a former council building. The waste contained personal details of more than 100 people, including highly sensitive information about adults and children in vulnerable circumstances. The documents were only discovered after the new owners of the property bought the building in August 2014. An investigation by the Information and Commissioner's Office, ICO, found the council failed to follow the law, which says that organisations must have technical and organisational measures in place to guard against accidental loss or destruction of personal data. The new owners bought Town End House in Havant, where the documents were found, after Hampshire County Council's Adults and Children's Services Department left the building. After the departure, there was a 2-year gap before the new owners bought it. During that time, any potential buyer with access could have found the personal information. Steve Eckersley, ICO Head of Enforcement, said, Hampshire County Council failed to ensure that highly sensitive personal data about adults and children in vulnerable circumstances was disposed of. The council knew the building housed a department that dealt with confidential information and should have had a proper procedure in place to check no personal data was left. Organisations must implement effective contingency plans to protect personal data when decommissioning buildings. The council's failure to look after this information was irresponsible. It not only broke the law, but put vulnerable people at risk. Councillor Chris Wood, the county's group UKIP leader, said, this is an outrageously irresponsible and expensive mistake which cannot be allowed to happen again. We must be given a clear explanation as to how this occurred and assurances that it will not be repeated. A council spokesperson said, we are sorry this incident occurred. Accordingly, appropriate procedures were in place at the time, but on this occasion the process was not fully adhered to. At no time was any information disclosed outside of the site. Immediate steps were taken to investigate the matter.
Brilliant teens helping out elderly at care home. Generations came together as young people helped out elderly residents at a Winchester care home as part of their national citizenship service. Teenagers aged from 15 to 17 from across Hampshire helped out at Techfield House in Chilbolton Avenue and also raised funds to help the care home. The NCS group painted garden furniture, bought a vegetable truck for the residents to grow fresh produce in, and got involved in a range of games and activities. Later in the week, they raised money by holding an afternoon tea for residents and staff as a farewell. The students also raised £1,000 by rowing and jogging at David Lloyd Leisure Studio in Winchester. The money will go to helping residents at Techfield House. Activities coordinator at Techfield House, Dawn Arundel, 47, said their visit was a huge boost to the residents. Dawn said, "When they first came in and introduced themselves to every resident, some of the residents cried with excitement. They have had giggles and interacted with everyone here. We are really glad they chose us. They've been really brilliant. They've been polite and engaged and worked really hard." Kyra Marks, 16, from Winchester, who is a former King's School student, who is heading to Peter Simmons College, said she enjoyed helping out at Tegfield House. Kyra said, "It is really rewarding. We have really enjoyed speaking to the older residents, and I find it interesting hearing their stories." The event was part of the NCS programme, which sees young people take part in a number of activities, including residential trips and organising social enterprise activities, including fundraising for scores of charities. The NCS is a national programme of engagement with young people during the course of the summer holidays and is particularly well supported in Hampshire with thousands of youngsters taking part. And there are a number of photographs. The first one is of a group of 17 young men and young girls together with coordinator Dawn Arundel, everyone looking very happy, smiling away for the group. And then there's another of a young man serving residents with a plate of cakes and biscuits. Another one of young people, three young people serving the residents. One of the residents looking very happy with a chocolate biscuit. Finishing touches to painting the room. And Cara Marks and Darcy Curitan making sandwiches.
Thank you. That concludes the headlines. Now we continue with the death announcements, followed by Christian comment, letters, historical items, chronicle comment, and Belgarum. So first, the death announcements for this week. Ball. Beatrice Joyce Ball died on the 3rd of August, aged 92. Carty. Patricia Lillian Carty died peacefully on the 13th of August, aged 89. Coles. Elizabeth Lily Coles died at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital on the 3rd of August, aged 81. Crook. Hazel Crook died on the 7th of August at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital after a long illness. Gilliatt. Margaret Gilliatt died peacefully at home on the 15th of August, aged 76. Hazard. Pearl Violet Hazard died on the August the 9th, aged 91. Hillary, Beryl Lillian Hillary, died peacefully on the 6th of August in Kent, aged 96. Hodson, Mary Hodson, on the 15th of August at Berwick Nursing Home, aged 95. Hutley, Michael Hutley, died at home on the 6th of August, aged 70. Lohman, Margaret Lohman, died suddenly on the 12th of August, aged 75. And the Venerable Canon Trevor G died peacefully at home on the 12th of August. Parker, David Parker, died on the 10th of August, aged 63. And Courtly, Bernard Courtley died peacefully in the Royal Hampshire County Hospital on the 11th of August. And now we move on to Christian comment read by Albie. Thank you.
Yes, Christian comment this week doesn't have the name of the writer. And it comes under the heading, "Certainty isn't a thing you can count on." If there is one thing I have learnt, it is that any ponderous ideas about what is certain in this world cannot be counted upon. Permanence, certainty, is an illusion and relies on many old ideas competing and being subject to revision so that at the stroke of a brush or the push of a pen, taking of a ballot, the changing of an attitude, the firing of a gun, everything can be pushed aside, and a new reality can be inaugurated. What you understood as certain is no more. In science, contrary to what many people might believe, the idea that anything scientific, whether it be considered a theory or absolute knowledge, being permanent, is flawed and can and will be subject to the possibility of correction or disproof. In the world in general, the idea that anything is permanent, especially the idea that anything is certain, is an illusion. Complex ideas about climate change, evolution, ozone layers, health advances, political structures, wealth, poverty, can by some be considered established law or fact, but by others argued at best to be a guess. One of the biggest illusions of certainty is our own infallibility or permanence, or even our own collective importance. In Ecclesiastes 3, we are told that there is a time for everything: to be born, to die, to tear down and build up, to weep and laugh, even a time for love and hate, war and peace. God has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, Ecclesiastes 3:1-11. It could be argued. And by the way people treat each other, it might seem proof that in the world we are not individually so important, that we certainly do not value each other. Human beings are very good at imposing structures that enforce binary levels of importance and power. If you are a male, you are the right colour, receive the correct sort of education, live in the right part of the world, your attitude to what is expected, your self-worth, will be higher than that of a perfectly similar human being starving to death in Africa. One of the saddest human traits of all is our seemingly unbreakable desire to pursue parsimony. In this world, we have enough resources, enough skills and intelligence that not a single human being needs to starve, die of disease, grow up ignorant, die in a war, have nowhere to live. But the fetish for personal collective wealth to the exclusion of others makes it okay, even in this country, that some of our schools are so under-resourced that they fail the children they serve, that we have food banks, that the poor live in substandard privately rented housing. To God, we are all made in the very image of God himself, the most important and special creation of all, equal and perfectly made. Being mean and selfish is against God's beautiful creation. God is not mean, the world is not ours. Pursue truth, compassion, and love, and be changed.
Thank you, Albie. And now we're going to move on to letters to the editor. Margaret's got the first one. Thank you.
And this is a letter from David Hoggett. River Rescue? Sir, my attention has been drawn to your article, Emergency Calls to Help Rescue Woman from River. Surely the water at that point is around 2 feet deep. If so, why did our allegedly hard-pressed emergency services dispatch 2 police cars, 2 fire engines and a helicopter? The article then says the lady self-rescued herself, to which I assume they mean she walked out of the river that she had earlier walked into. David Hoggett, Northbrook Avenue, Winchester.
This letter is titled Pot Kettle Black, and it's written by Paul Twelvetree of Burriton Road, Hairstock. Sir, Councillor Kim Gottlieb has been a regular feature on your letters page over the past couple of years. He has regularly criticised the leader of the council, other councillors, officers of the council, council contractors and other individuals. He's very good at dishing it out, but apparently not very good at taking it. Following the 2 letters that you published from me, August the 4th and 11th, suggesting he was being a bit tardy in getting to grips with his brief to chair the Central Winchester Regeneration Committee, and that 3 months on he had yet to even schedule its first meeting. Councillor Gottlieb wrote to the leader of the council, Councillor Stephen Godfrey, copied to all other Conservative councillors and local members of Parliament, demanding that the leader require me to control myself and cease writing letters criticising him forthwith. He also asked Councillor Godfrey to interrogate me about my letters and that my interference and caustic commentary are not required. Stephen Godfrey has sensibly declined to do this. The arrogance shown by a councillor in trying to stop a member of the public criticising him is almost unbelievable in anyone other than Councillor Gottlieb. He seems to have forgotten that it is a servant of the people who elected him, and the public have a duty to hold our councillors to account when they're not up to the job. He would be better occupied in sorting out the Silver Hill mess that he's caused and that he was instrumental in causing than trying to stifle justified debate. The words pot, kettle, black spring to mind. Winchester deserves better than this tin pot councillor full of his own self-importance.
Now a letter from Janice Whittle of South View Road, Winchester, under the heading NHS Needs Cash. Sir, I agree with Chris House, letters August the 11th, that the health service is poorly funded. Savings have been made, but there are limits to cuts that can be made without affecting the service. We have to spend more money. At lunchtime on Saturday, the 9th of July, my 18-year-old grandson collapsed with suspected appendicitis. His mother telephoned for an ambulance, but was told there was none available. If there is no ambulance available on a sunny Saturday lunchtime in July, whatever will it be like in January when there is ice and snow? Fortunately, his parents were at home, so they drove him to hospital. However, no ambulance available means no pain relief, so he was in agony for the 35 minutes it took to reach Southampton General Hospital. He arrived about 2:30 p.m. and by 6 p.m. Saturday, a ruptured appendix had been diagnosed and he was said to be fourth on the list for surgery. Then began a long wait of over 30 hours, during which he was moved back in the queue because of more urgent cases coming in. His mother rang Queen Alexandra at Portsmouth and the Royal Hants County Hospital in Winchester to ask if they were able to operate sooner, but they were unable to do so. He finally went in for his operation just before midnight on Sunday. I have no criticism of the hospital staff who were doing their best. I'm sure they prioritised correctly. However, 30 hours is just far too long to wait. He occupied a bed for 2 nights rather than one, which no doubt delayed another urgent admission. The answer to this is more resources. There are more of us. Many of us are getting older. Many of us are overweight. We find money for the things we want to find money for, and taxes can be raised. I would urge everyone to contact their MP to press for more resources for the NHS. None of us know when we might need to use it.
A letter from Councillor Martin Todd, Station Approach. Sir, nobody opposed the scheme for Station Approach because they opposed having new offices in the city. Councillors opposed it because it was a poor design that was slammed by the independent jury, crammed far too much onto the site, was set to create disastrous congestion and air pollution, and would ruin the appearance of the town for people arriving in Winchester. The argument put forward by Stephen Gates on behalf of the Hampshire Chambers of Commerce last week is the same one that made the Brooks Shopping Centre happen. Something needs to be done. Therefore, it should happen. The problem with that argument is that it sets absolutely no standards at all for the quality of design and impact on the area. Let's not forget how mediocre the scores given to this design by the independent and expert design jury appointed by the council actually were. Nothing about the scheme was scored as excellent, Nothing about the scheme was even scored as good, and several aspects of the scheme were marked as less than satisfactory. And that's on top of the scheme's failure to take even the slightest notice of concerns raised by local residents about congestion, traffic and pollution. As others have noted, the Conservative Party's disastrous policy allowing offices to be converted into housing at will is hitting the city hard. We do need more modern office space, but that doesn't mean that councillors should approve the first scheme to come along, no matter how bad it is. Councillor Martin Todd, Week Manor House, Lloyd Lindsay Square, Winchester.
This letter is on a similar sort of theme. It's called City Vision and was written by Julian English of Courtney Road, Winchester. Sir, last Thursday's excellent mix of concerned letters about Winchester City Council's lack of any direction for our city prompts two urgent needs. Investment in a comprehensive transportation plan by a national consultancy specialising in the problems of and solutions for overdeveloped and polluted cathedral cities like Winchester. For without this, how can the council make any decisions on such mega issues as a city centre master plan and the station approach business area? Use this time to clear out the senior failed council officers and replace them with new appointments who understand the cultural and heritage needs of a cathedral city like Winchester, with already too much housing for its historically inadequate infrastructure.
A letter from Councillor Kim Gottlieb, City Councillor for Itchen Valley, Avington. Sir, the tears, the smiles and the inspiration provided by the boys and girls of the very wonderful Team GB all show just how important sport has become in modern society and what an extraordinarily positive force for good it is. If the City Council is to serve the Winchester District well, it must be bold and stretch its ambition to Olympic training style and build the very best sports leisure it possibly can. Opting for a 50-metre pool instead of a 25-metre one was a good start. But there is so much further to go, and this is one project that must not get derailed by a lack of careful planning or of project management skills. So that all comes under the heading City Must Build on Olympic Legacy, and is accompanied by a lovely photograph of Sophie Hitchin showing off her bronze medal for the women's hammer throw in Rio. There she is, smiling away in her red and white GB tracksuit with the large letters GB on the front. And looking a very happy lady.
Thank you. That concludes the letters. Now we're going to step back in the mist of time. Margaret.
100 years ago, Saturday, August the 12th, 1916... People on the streets were mystified by seeing between 50 and 60 young men being marched down in charge of the military. About a dozen were in civilian clothes and the remainder in khaki. At the corner of South State Street, a dear old lady in the guileless of her heart cheered them on by waving her hand. The fellows, however, were scarcely heroes. It was understood they were on their way from Winchester Prison to London via the Great Western Railway, where their appeals were to be held against the consequences which more or less passive resistance to military laws had brought upon them. A well-known Winchester officer commanding an anti-aircraft battery of the RGA in France in the course of a recent excellent choir now under Corporal Clements, and they give very fine turns in the twilight. Old Clem is one of the very best and is the stoutest pillar to me, for I can absolutely rely on him and nothing is too much trouble. Really, you cannot imagine what it is to have a family like I have.
50 years ago, Saturday, August the 20th, 1966. The computer is entering into our lives now more than ever before. A person can pick up a telephone and ask a computer the value of shares on the stock exchange. Scientists, engineers can simulate a drive down a motorway before the road is even constructed. All these are achieved by an industry which, although it has made enormous strides in the last two decades, is in many ways still in its infancy. Ancient meets modern at Hursley Park, where IBM's eight-storey laboratory block and a single-storey computer building stand in surprising harmony next to the old mansion. The new modern buildings, completed in 1963, were the first phase of a development plan. And in May last year, work started on the second phase, a three-storey building costing over £1 million. And a second one here. Airport facilities in Hampshire were criticised by Mr. Charles Watt from Botley when the Central and Northwest Planning Committee at Winchester on Monday vetoed a bid to have flying again on the former Worthy-Down aerodrome near Winchester. In the belief that an appeal against the refusal would result into a public inquiry into the proposal, the committee turned down an application by Mr. O'Hill for the use of part of the former aerodrome as an air park for club and executive flying, a helicopter service, and the stationing of a hangar and erection of a petrol filling station, clubhouse and motel. "Nothing is more diabolical than the progress of Eastleigh Airport," declared Mr. Watts, who added that he thought it disgraceful that Stony Cross Airport in the New Forest should be broken up.
Two items from 25 years ago, Friday, 16th of August, 1991. The source of the strong smell that affected Winchester last week has been traced to a field near Farley Mount Country Park area. It had been spread with sewage sludge from Southern Water by Hayes Farms Hursley under a legitimate long-standing agreement. Mr. Robert Heathcock, Winchester's environmental health manager, said, "We normally expect fields to be ploughed in within 24 hours of spreading to reduce the odour and emissions, but this had not happened in this case. The warm weather and strong wind only made the situation worse." Mrs. Liz Spence for Southern Water said of the spreading arrangement, "This is normal practice. Unfortunately, on this occasion, it was not ploughed in as quickly as we would like. We regret that any inconvenience was caused to people. We hope that in future the material will be ploughed in more quickly." And a second item. The summer season has witnessed another explosion of crop circles of different shapes and patterns in fields near Winchester. As the bizarre spectacle once again hits the national headlines, rings accompanied by the now traditional circus of sightseers have appeared in the punch bowl at Cheesefoot Head and in the fields of Chilcombe Down. Arguments still rage on the nature and origins of the phenomenon at Ulsford-based investigator Ulsford-based investigator and retired scientist Pat Delgado is convinced orthodox scientific methods have proved bankrupt. He said, "The whole subject is one of the greatest modern mysteries. A wide range of tests have been carried out across the scientific disciplines. They've tried electromagnetic tests, Geiger counters, ultraviolet scans, and infrared photography. Natural science has been exhausted."
Thank you. Now we move back to the present time. Editorial comment, Margaret.
Response to fair tragedy is key point. There is little doubt that the Boomtown Fair will be remembered for all the wrong reasons after this year's event. Tragically today, the Chronicle is reporting on the death of a teenager who, like thousands of others, went off to enjoy a fun-filled weekend but never came home. The weekend was also marred by the destruction of almost 100 cars after a fire broke out in the festival car park, dangerously close to a campsite. The cars that were able to make the journey home were then caught up in miles of tailbacks as Winchester City ground to a halt. Will, of course, be the inevitable calls for review of safety measures to ensure that everything that can be done is being done to protect revellers. But there must also be a measured response in acknowledging that on occasion unforeseen episodes can happen. Surely it is the response to devastating events that is the measure of a well-run festival.
And now Belgarum's alternative look at the news, Albie.
Yes, three items here from Belgarum. First, People Power sought out horticultural blight. A horticultural horror show, which blocked off a pavement in Compton, has been dealt with thanks to People Power. As reported in Belgarum last week, overgrown hedges had blighted the lives of people walking along Otterbourne Road. However, residents and Compton and Shawford Parish Council had taken matters into their own hands, as confirmed by Councillor Myra Wilkinson, who wrote in explaining that the council and local residents had cut back the brambles even before the Chronicle had hit the streets. Second item, ace opportunity to see Cup. Tennis fans in Winchester can rejoice when they get to have a rare glimpse at the Davis Cup. The Cup, on a national trophy tour, will stop off in the city on August the 29th. Fans may remember last year how Great Britain won the 2015 final after a historic win over Belgium, making it the first time they have lifted the trophy for 79 years. Winchester City Council, with Hampshire and Isle of Wight Lawn Tennis Association, will also be offering a chance for families to try tennis on 7 pop-up tennis courts. The Cup will be at Winchester High Street from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the date again, August the 29th. And the final item, waterway to quench festival goers' thirsts. Tired and exhausted revellers at Boomtown were helped out by the goodwill of a Winchester pub. Thousands of people made the journey home in hot conditions after a weekend of non-stop partying at the popular festival. Traffic on Monday was backed up in Winchester, leaving many revellers unable to get out of the city for at least an hour. However, the Rising Sun pub in Bridge Street gave out water to thirsty festival goers on their way home. Landlord Robert Plunton said they gave away more than 100 pints of water.
Thank you. Now a couple of announcements. Firstly, there's a reminder from Hampshire County Council Adult Services Sensory Team that their sensory services are available to those with sight loss or dual loss. You can contact them at any time, and the telephone number is 0300 555 1386. Now the announcements, and we start with What's On. And on Monday the 29th of August, which is a bank holiday, in Winchester Cathedral at 4 p.m. there's an organ recital by George Castle, the cathedral organist. Tickets are £10 from the box office, which is 01962 857 275. The following day, Tuesday the 30th of August, there's a lunchtime concert in the cathedral between 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. with Hannum Inner on cello. It's a free concert with a retiring collection. On Saturday the 3rd of September, two shows for you. Littleton Show between 10 and 5.30. That's an entry fee of £3. And the Alsford Show is at Titchbourne Park between 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. And the entry to that is £9. And finally, on Sunday the 4th of September, Vintage Jazz at Hinton Ampton, the National Trust property. You can sit on the grass and enjoy some jazz. The lighting up time ends Friday the 19th of August at 5:59 a.m. and begins at 8:18 p.m. And next Wednesday the 24th of August It ends at 6:06 a.m. and begins at 8:07 p.m. And if you know someone who's sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with the recording you've received from us, please telephone Irene Dowding on 01962 870 370. And now we continue with further items of general news. Margaret.
Help Zoo name this tiger cub. He is one of Hampshire's most adorable and rarest new arrivals. This bundle of fluff will eventually grow up into an Amur tiger, one of the world's most endangered creatures. Now the Hampshire Zoo, where he was born, is looking for readers to help give him a name. The youngster was among the first three tiger cubs to be born at Marwell Zoo in more than a decade. One of a litter of three, the cub's sister, Zima and Baya, have already been named by keepers. Zima is named after a town in the Amur-Uzuri region of Far East Russia, where the cub's few remaining wild relatives still live, while the name Baya is made up using a mixture of her parents' Miller and Bagar's names. But the zookeepers have struggled to agree on a name for their brother. Now they are asking the public to pick from their three favourite names: Luca, a Greek name meaning brighter, bringer of light; Titan, after the creatures in Greek mythology and the planet Saturn's largest moon; and Makari, a Russian name meaning blessed. Anyone who votes will be entered into a draw for a chance to win a family ticket to Marwell Zoo. Mark Fox from Marwell said Miller is looking after her cubs very well. She's attentive, protective, and very patient with her excitable youngsters. It's great to watch the cubs finding their feet, running around and exploring their new surroundings. We've picked our favourites, so we hope that a public vote will help us decide. Miller and Bagar are part of a European Endangered Species Breeding Programme, which maintains a healthy captive population of tigers and preserves critical genetic diversity for the future. For more information about the cubs, or to pick a name for Mila and Bagar's baby boy, visit www.marwell.org.uk/tiger cub. And the article's accompanied by the most delightful picture of a tiger cub who's got his tongue hanging out.
Family devastated over death of son and cyclist. The family of a loving and passionate 20-year-old cyclist who was killed by a pensioner have revealed their heartache at his death. William Houghton was riding on the A32 at Wickham on January 23rd when he was hit by a white Citroen C3 driven by Jeanette Smith, 69. He was taken to hospital shortly after the crash, which happened at about 11:15 a.m, but died the next day from his injuries. His parents, Liz and Richard, say they will never know if William would have fulfilled his ambition to become a professional cyclist. Smith, of Little Corner, Denmead, appeared at the Portsmouth Magistrates Court and pleaded guilty to causing death by careless driving and was banned from driving for a year. As well as the driving disqualification, she was ordered to carry out 60 hours of unpaid work and to pay a total of £165 in costs and fines. Paying tribute to their son after the sentencing, Will's parents, Liz and Richard Houghton, said, "Our grief for our loving, passionate, driven and wonderful son Will is deep. He was a handsome, motivated and fun 20-year-old and is missed dearly by his family and friends. His new racing bike, delivered 2 weeks after he was killed, will never be ridden. We will never know if he would have achieved his driving ambition to be a professional cyclist. While the 20 years he spent with us was far too short, we are grateful that he lived them to the full and left us all with happy memories and a belief that we should all strive to be the very best version of ourselves we can be. We welcome Mrs. Smith's decision to plead guilty to death by careless driving and hope that Will's tragic death will act as a reminder to all drivers that they must be alert to cyclists at all time." Speaking after the sentencing, PC Lucy Hawkins from the Serious Collision Investigation Unit added, "This is a tragic incident which has had a devastating impact on William's family. We would just like to take this opportunity to remind motorists that they must give the road their complete attention 100% of the time, because any lapse in concentration could have fatal consequences. Drivers need to be alert at all times so that they're aware of their surroundings."
Ready for show. Littleton and Harestock is gearing up for the annual village show on Saturday, September the 3rd. There will be a total number of 207 classes for all the family to enter, ensuring a magnificent display in the marquee. The current flower show, the heart of the event, has its roots in the early 1920s, when so much of the Littleton area was cultivated in small holdings, market gardens and nurseries. Even when more houses were built there, there were still large gardens to support the entries of fruit, vegetables and flowers, and that tradition has carried on. Over the years, the flower show has been well supported by the English passion for gardening, seen in television programmes, the popularity of allotments, growing your own and local gardening clubs. So each year, the marquee is filled with produce, as well as vibrant paintings and photos, intricate craftwork and models, fragrant flowers and so many homemade savouries, jams and cakes. 60 years ago, there were 250 entries. 30 years ago, there were a total of 1,135. So the organisers are hoping for a record number this year. In the 1930s, a fair for the family was held on show day, and it is from this and the fate side of the show has gone from strength to strength. This year's attractions include the Band of the Royal Artillery, a dog gymkhana, children's races, a giant Scalectrics racetrack with music provided by the Barton Stacey Jubilee Jazz Band and Winchester Sings Community Choir. Field events include the popular climbing wall, ferret racing, army target range, children's rides, and the junior football tournament. The WI competition, always a big attraction in the marquee, dates from the earliest days, as do their famous teas. It has been called one of the best traditional village shows in Hampshire, and the committee are determined to keep up the high standard. The charities which benefit from the profits this year are Street Reach and Serve Wessex. And don't forget the date, Saturday, September the 3rd.
Awards Hall for Producers. Hampshire food outlets are celebrating a Hall of Awards. Producers from the county came away with more than 70 stars in the Great Taste Awards, which celebrate the best foods in the country. The Great Taste logo has become recognised as a stamp of quality on many of our favourite foods and drink, and now a heap of Hampshire food companies will have that stamp on their products. Jude's Ice Cream, based in Twyford near Winchester, came away with an impressive 9 awards. Director of Jude's, Chow Mesker, said, "We were delighted with another successful year at the Great Taste Awards. We were thrilled to be granted 9 awards this summer, including an award for our new flavour, brown butter pecan, made with swirls of caramel and pecan pieces." Other winners from Hampshire included Alton's Family Butchers, Farmer's Choice Free Range Limited, Moon Roast Coffee and Winchester Distillery, among others. The local food group Hampshire Fair works closely with many of the county's winners to support and promote their businesses. "We are so pleased that their skills have been recognised at the Great Taste Awards. ice cream, cheese, chocolate, coffee, sausages, bacon, charcuterie, marshmallows, gin, beer and more have all been awarded stars. The variety speaks volumes about the thriving local food scene here in Hampshire. This year's awards involved more than 400 expert judges who came together for 49 judging days from March until July. They were made up of top chefs and restaurateurs, deli and farm shop owners, retail buyers, food writers and journalists, farmers, cake experts and other food expertise. The judges blind taste in teams of three or four, ensuring we get a balance.
This is titled Anxious A-Level Wait and is accompanied by a picture of students that celebrating at Peter Simmons' A-Level results last year. Thousands of students across Hampshire are set to find out their A-Level results today. In Winchester, students who go to Peter Simmons College are expected to gather in eager anticipation of opening those all-important slips. Students who attend Sparshot College and Swanmore College will also be awaiting the opening of their results. Last year, Peter Simmons students achieved a 99% pass rate of A-levels. The school's highest achievers last year were twins Sam and Luke Bell of Hedge End, who managed to bag 9 A stars and 3 A's between them. There have been some major changes this year by Ofqual, the exam board's regulator, which said it would only allow remarking if there were clear errors. And in a clampdown on exam appeals, they said they would use a tougher system, which would make it harder for some pupils to get a second bite of the cherry. This year, results are expected to rise in according to one of the most country's foremost education experts. And the number of boys achieving the very top grade could pull further ahead of girls due to an increase in the take-up of maths, typically a high-scoring subject, according to Professor Alan Smithers, Director of Centre of Education and Employment Research at Buckingham University. Last year, boys held a 0.9% lead over girls at A-star grade, although girls had a 0.4% lead at A and A-star grade combined, having outperformed boys every year since the millennium. Entries to maths and further maths are up again, and the former now replacing English as the subject with the highest intake. Professor Smithers said the grades have been narrowing since 2006. Boys tend to cluster in the subjects that give out a lot of top grades, such as maths, Greek and Latin. Girls cluster in subjects like English that offer relatively few of the top grades, like English and psychology.
Centenarian Edna makes a hat trick. A Winchester centenarian celebrated turning 100 surrounded by good company. In reaching the milestone birthday, Edna Weller becomes the third oldest person at Teckfield House. There are currently three ladies in their centenarian years, with Molly Allnut due to turn 103 in September. Miss Weller celebrated her birthday with several close friends, including a 98-year-old friend. The Mayor of Winchester, Councillor Jane Rutter, attended the celebrations, as well as local Reverend Peter Seal. The home gifted the birthday girl a rose called Absolutely Fabulous for the Mayor to plant. Miss Weller commented on the Mayor planting the rose, "Get the gardeners to plant it, it's what we pay them for, and they will do a better job." She was born on August 8, 1916, at Midhurst, West Sussex, and moved to Winchester in 1921, attending Winchester County Girls' School, now the Westgate, in Cheriton Road, and was in the school choir, played tennis and netball. She was a member of the Weak Manor Townswomen's Guild and also enjoyed folk dancing, yoga, keep fit, and a weekly swim. Miss Weller loves the countryside and wildflowers, and her greatest love is music and playing the piano. She's been a resident at Teckfield for 9 years and enjoys time in its garden. Councillor Rutter said, "I was delighted to join Miss Edna Weller, and friends and relations at Teckfield House Care Home to celebrate her 100th birthday. We cut the cake together, enjoyed a triple to toast the centenarian, the third lady to pass this milestone in Teckfield House at present, and they were all at the party." Shirley Bartlett, home manager, said, "I feel honoured and proud to have three centenarians living at Teckfield House, who have collectively lived here for 26 years. And there's a photograph of those three wonderful ladies sitting in a large bench chair, surrounded by carers at Teckfield House, all under a big red sunbrolly. Jolly good luck to them.
Extra train services to airport. Holidaymakers in Southampton are being offered extra train journeys this summer. Southwest Trains has announced it will be providing extra services to Southampton Airport Parkway during the holiday season. The train service has revealed it will be running extra early Saturday morning services to the airport in a bid to make it easier for passengers to leave the car at home and catch a flight. The additional services have now launched and will run from Basingstoke and Portsmouth Harbour, arriving at Southampton Airport Parkway at 5:39 a.m. and 6:27 a.m. respectively. The service from Portsmouth Harbour also creates the first South West Trains direct link between Portsmouth area and Southampton Airport. Craig Leeper, commercial timetable manager at South West Trains, said, "These additional services provide an earlier option for anyone wishing to travel to Southampton Airport Parkway for an early Saturday morning flight. The Portsmouth service will start at Portsmouth Harbour and stop at Portsmouth and Southsea, Fratton, Cosham, Fareham, Eastleigh and Southampton Airport Parkway before carrying on to Southampton Central. The Basingstoke service stops at Winchester, Eastleigh and Southampton Airport Parkway and then continues on to St Denis and Southampton Central. The services will run until August 27th.
Guides will show visitors cities sites. This is accompanied by a picture of 20 new guides, tourist guides. They are the guides who will show visitors the sites in Winchester. Winchester's new tourist guides were officially presented with their green badges at a presentation evening in Abbey House. The City Council has worked with Winchester Area Tourist Guides Association to develop this nationally accredited course, as the growth of tourism has led to an increase in demand for guided tours. The Mayor, Councillor Jane Rutter, said, "The new recruits' commitment to Winchester and the course was clear to see, and we are thankful for all their efforts and hard work." The guides will hit the streets this month, offering three tours every weekday and one on Sunday. The tours begin from the Tourist Information Centre, cost just £5 per person, and do not need to be pre-booked. Contact the centre on 01962 840 5. Or email tourism@winchester.gov.uk.
Suicide verdict on popular speaker. A well-known motivational speaker who grew up in Hampshire took her own life, an inquest heard. The death of Susie Baron Stubley sparked an outpouring of grief from people who were inspired by her through her work training personal assistants across the world. Winchester Coroner's Court heard how the 45-year-old was staying with her parents in Kingsworthy near Winchester on October the 29th last year, following a relationship breakdown. She went missing on November the 1st and her body was found in North Ball's recreational ground in the early hours of November the 2nd. Her death also saw an investigation by the Independent Police Complaints Commission. However, Senior Coroner Graham Short said there were no failings made by the police. The inquest heard how she was likely suffering from bipolar disorder but was never diagnosed. She was on medication for depression and had attempted suicide before. Partner Stephen Walton said they had relationship difficulties and she suffered mood swings. Police originally listed Ms. Baron-Stubley of Shepherd's Hill in Reading as a high-risk missing person. She was later downgraded to medium risk due to a lack of information. Search advisor, Police Constable Robin Diamond, said police struggled to trace her movements as she had no phone, bank cards or vehicle. Police later found out she had asked for help at the closed-down North Walls police station, where she left a message via the intercom and briefly spoke to call handler Peter Bray at 10:48 p.m. Mr. Bray told the inquest how she had said that she needed help and said her name was Susie Barron. But when he asked for more details, she terminated the call. He searched for her name on the police system, but due to a spelling error inputted by another officer involved in the case, he couldn't find details until an hour later, when by chance he spoke to Mr. Walton. When police discovered the intercom message, they conducted a search around the old police station and looked at CCTV footage. They believed Ms. Baron-Stubley had walked in the direction of Park Avenue towards River Park Leisure Centre. Officers were deployed to this area and her body was later found at the nearby recreation ground. Pathologist Dr. Raed Al-Talib told the inquest Ms. Baron-Stubley died as a result of carbon monoxide and fluoxetine poisoning. She was also nearly twice the drink drive limit, according to toxicology results. Senior Coroner Graham Short recorded her death as suicide and said her reasons were unclear, describing her as a troubled person who had not been properly diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Library Cards Design Contest. Budding bookworms in Hampshire are urged to flex their imaginations by taking part in a summer reading competition. Hampshire County Council's Library Service wants 4 to 11-year-olds to get creative by designing a brand new children's library card. For the first time ever, a short competition is being run by Hampshire Libraries to replace existing library cards for children, with two new fun and vibrant designs by children who have completed this year's current summer reading challenge, the Big Friendly Read. Children will receive an entry form once they finish the summer reading challenge, along with their medal and certificate, and can create any design they can imagine, from swashbuckling pirates to lovely ladybirds, from now until September the 30th. This year's summer reading challenge is inspired by much-loved author Ronald Dahl. Hampshire County Council's Executive Member for Culture, Recreation and Countryside, Councillor Andrew Gibson, said, "We're inviting young children to show off their creative flair by entering the competition and designing the new library card, which will be used by thousands of children across our libraries. There is still lots of time for children to enter by completing the summer reading challenge in any of Hampshire's libraries when they read any 6 library books by September the 18th. Favourite books read on the summer reading challenge are the perfect inspiration for entries, which can be drawn in any colour or design. We hope children have fun with their colouring pens and pencils, and we're looking forward to receiving a range of designs. We wish everyone the best of luck." For more information, visit www.hants.gov.uk/library, and it's accompanied by several children standing in front of a stand of books, all smiling and all looking through these books.
Praise for brave firefighters first on the scene. More than 30 firefighters were involved in tackling the blaze at the Boomtown Festival's car park, which damaged or destroyed about 100 cars. Officer in command, watch manager Mark Compton from Winchester Fire Station, told the Chronicle that it was the actions of just four firefighters, the first on the scene, who managed to stop it spreading to the nearby luxury Boomtique camping site after the fire began just after 4 p.m. on Friday. Hampshire Fire and Rescue Service Area Manager Steve Foyle said, "This devastating fire shows the danger and impact of discarding lit cigarettes. In the summer, a fire like this is more likely to take hold quickly and can grow out of control in minutes." He went on to say he was extremely proud of the bravery and professionalism of the firefighters who battled the flames. The debris was set to be moved by insurers from Tuesday night. On Monday, event bosses helped scores of people whose vehicles were destroyed to get home. The festival laid on internet access and phone lines so owners could contact their insurance companies and organise transport. Boomtown bosses were also working with coach partner National Express to offer people travel options and laying on extra shuttle buses to Winchester Railway Station. One reveller, Jack Guilfoyle from Chester, found out on Sunday that his Ford Fiesta was one of those destroyed by the blaze. The 19-year-old University of Liverpool student said, "I remember seeing the smoke on the day it happened as I was walking through Boomtown. People started talking about cars being on fire."
Help for school move. Linden Homes is supporting a village nursery and primary school in the Meon Valley, Greenery Nursery School and Swanmore Primary School look to develop their facilities to provide better environments for their pupils. The Greenery is moving from the Paterson Centre to Swanmore Village Hall in September, and are starting plans to transform the open space outside the hall. Linden Homes has kick-started the transformation by donating a shed for the nursery to store the outdoor play equipment. Susan Whiting, Linden Homes marketing manager, said, "It's important to support the local community, especially the institutions who guide and educate the new generation. It's the young ones who will make the difference in the future and continue Swanmore's reputation as an excellent place to live. We're really pleased to support both Swanmore Primary School and Greenery Nursery. We hope we can help to make a difference and encourage others to get involved too." Swanmore Primary School is currently raising funds to renovate two Victoria classrooms on site, which Linden Homes is supporting. Hannah Wallace from the Greenery said, "The nursery has been running for 24 years and we are always striving to do the best for the children in our care. So when the opportunity came to move to somewhere with a bigger garden, we had to go for it."
Firefighters Medic Project. Hampshire firefighters are being given greater medical training than ever to help them save more lives. All frontline vehicles are being equipped with defibrillators, hemorrhage control tools, monitoring devices, and a pain-relieving gas known as Entonox. The immediate emergency care project could make the difference between life and death when fire engines arrive before paramedics, the service has said. Crews would not go out to medical emergencies under the scheme. Instead, they would be better equipped to treat patients at the scenes of typical firefighting calls. Group manager Rob Cole, who oversees the fire as a health as a health asset project for Hampshire Fire and Rescue Service, said, "The IEC is a major step forward in saving the lives of people in the county. We are not paramedics, but we are often the first on the scene at incidents requiring medical intervention. A firefighter who has been medically trained to a high level and is armed with the right equipment can make the difference between life and death. We will deal with the casualty until the arrival of an ambulance, at which point we would hand on the medical care to the paramedics, as they have a greater level of clinical expertise. Many other Hampshire firefighters are already trained to visit medical emergencies as co-responders. The project sees firefighters attend 13,000 medical calls a year. Other health schemes run by the fire service include a course to help prevent falls among pensioners."
Iconic performer will return. Powerhouse performer Leo Sayer, who made his debut at Eastleigh's Concord Club last year, is heading back to the Hampshire Club in 2017. Hot on the heels of his sellout Restless Years album tour, it has been revealed that he will be returning to the Stoneham Lane Club on May the 19th. He's promising a high-energy concert of his much-loved greatest hits. With 16 hit albums and 26 hit singles to his name, Leo Sayer is one of the most successful acts the UK has produced and still has a huge global following. Born on the South Coast, Leo began his music career co-writing songs with David Courtney. It is now more than 40 years since Leo, who now lives in Australia, shot to fame with his own hit single, "The Show Must Go On." In 1977, he hit the top of the US charts with "You Make Me Feel Like Dancing." The 70s music legend's energy-fueled performances are still captivating audiences. Call 023 8061 3989 or visit theconcordclub.com.
Anthony's green fingers finally pay off. A Winchester man has seen his life transformed all thanks to the power of gardening. Anthony Coates, 42, from Green Close in Wellhouse Lane, is now celebrating the fruits of his labour as he has won the Winchester City Council Tenants Gardening Competition for his impressive hanging baskets. The dad of three says his famed hanging baskets, which can be found at the front of his home, are very much just the tip of the iceberg. Mr. Coates describes himself as self-taught and picked up the skills needed thanks to magazines, and also got help and advice from Philip Jeffs of Worthy Plants. He originally did some soft and hard landscaping, but said he really started to discover the joys of gardening when he had his own garden 9 years ago. Now he has started his own business, Little Rose Gardening and Maintenance, which is a world away from working for Pickford's and also Winchester Removals. And there is a photograph of Anthony Coates, arms outstretched and a big smile on his face, standing outside his home, and behind him the renowned hanging baskets and bushes with a multitude of various coloured flowers. Lovely photograph.
Electrical box fire leaves 40 homes without power. 40 Hampshire homes were without power last week after an electrical link box caught fire. Smoke billowed out of a manhole cover on Friday, August the 12th in Eastgate Street, Winchester, as firefighters and police cordoned off the road. A spokesman for Hampshire Fire and Rescue said, "We were called out at 12:19 p.m. to reports of smoke coming out of a manhole cover. An electrical transformer seems to have caught fire." Scottish and Southern Energy said 40 customers were affected on Union Street, Eastgate Street, High Street and St John's North. A spokesman told the Echo, engineers had to cut the power to ensure the safety of those who feed off the supply. We do apologise for any inconvenience that has been caused. The fire was out at 1:51 p.m. and there is a picture of the smoke coming out of the manhole cover.
Six new children's homes underway. A £7 million project to build six new children's homes in Hampshire is underway. The County Council is building the homes with the latest energy-efficient technology. The first, which is being constructed in the New Forest, is set to be finished in the late autumn. The other five homes are being built in Winchester, Eastleigh, Fareham, Test Valley and Havant. They will be smaller than the current children's homes and will house four children and their carers. They're being built using the latest construction technology and a low-energy standard known as passive house, developed in Germany. It also ensures that the buildings are draft-proof with the use of triple-glazed windows. The use of mechanical ventilation with heat recovery will result in both energy efficiencies and financial savings, and well-proportioned windows and skylights will help to maximise the natural daylight.
Car park scheme. Councillors are set to decide at a planning committee meeting whether a Winchester car park should be partially demolished and reopened. The scheme for Friars Gate multi-storey car park could see the ground and upper ground levels being brought back into use, with the two existing staircases to the corners of the car park opened back up again. The scheme has had more than 15 letters of objection and one letter in support. Councillors will make a decision at the meeting at Winchester Guildhall today.
Clipper Fleet has landed. From violent tropical storms to savage 90-mile-an-hour winds and from frosty nights to scorching heats, they have faced it all. A group of 250 amateur sailors, including some from the Winchester area, have been on an epic adventure that has taken them 40,000 nautical miles around the globe as part of the Clipper Round the World Yacht Race. But now their once-in-a-lifetime challenge that has seen them travel to six continents has come to an end. The sailors received a hero's welcome at St. Catherine's Dock in London when the fleet of 12 40-foot yachts returned from the 11-month adventure. Emotions ran high as the sailors, including Alsford banker James Shepherd, 30, reunited with their families 8 weeks after they said goodbye on the docks of the River Thames. Other sailors from the area included Chris Beddoes, 61, a chartered chemical engineer from Hursley near Winchester, completed legs one and four and raced in the final leg, and Davina Watson, 34, an anaesthetist from Winchester, who completed the final two legs with Team Itchacoal.
Award for Waterfirm. A water firm which supplies households in Hampshire has won the country's top award for safety at work. Wessex and Engineering Construction Services, part of Wessex Water, received ROSPA's Sir George Earle Trophy. The department is responsible for the design and construction of water treatment, wastewater and network projects across the Wessex Water region, which spans Dorset, Somerset, Bristol, most of Wiltshire and part of Gloucestershire and Hampshire, and is also responsible for the repair and maintenance of the network. ROSPA Chief Executive Tom Malarkey said the firm showcased a senior leadership team led by committed and insightful board-level input, supported by a wide range of senior management colleagues with the same philosophy and approach. He added, "Its strong safety leadership and innovation not just supports Wessex Water in its approach, but also allows it to share expertise with other companies in the group outside the UK. Engagement of the whole workforce in this way, including in the occupational health agenda, presented something new and interesting."
Give your input on area policing. Members of the public are being called on to join the Hampshire Police and Crime Panel, which will hold the new Police and Crime Commissioner to account. The panel will scrutinise the work of Commissioner Michael Lane, and it will be consulted by him on his plans for the police budget and council tax. Mr. Lane, the Conservative candidate for the county, became Hampshire's second Police and Crime Commissioner earlier this year when he beat incumbent Simon Hayes in the election. Now, two vacancies have arisen for residents in the county to join the panel. The body's responsibilities include reviewing Mr. Lane's police and crime plan and reviewing and scrutinising his annual report, decisions, council tax proposals, and his conduct. They also have powers to make recommendations to the Commissioner about his appointment of senior staff and the Chief Constable, and to appoint an acting Commissioner if he is unable to fulfil the role. The panel currently has 15 councillors from each of the local authorities covered by Hampshire Constabulary, while there are an extra 3 councillors to reflect the county's political makeup. There will also be non-councillor roles, which will be recruited from the public. Panel chairman and Isle of Wight councillor David Stewart said, "The role of a panel member is an important and demanding one, and we are seeking committed and enthusiastic residents to serve as co-opted independent members from October 2016 for a 4-year term." The panel wishes to reflect the breadth of communities across Hampshire and the Isle of Wight, and it would welcome applications from anyone eligible to be considered. This is an exciting opportunity to get involved in and make suggestions for improvement to policing, community safety, and crime issues within Hampshire and the Isle of Wight. The closing date for applications is August the 29th, with the formal appointment set to be made on October the 7th.
Campaign for Homeless. The relaunched Spare Change for Real Change campaign in Winchester has helped boost donations. The campaign aims to reduce street begging by diverting donations to charities such as the Trinity Centre and the Night Shelter. On the day of the relaunch, £100 was collected, with £1,000 in the last 5 months, compared to £1,500 in the 12 months preceding it. Some £30 has been received in text donations. The campaign was relaunched in June by Winchester City Council and the Winchester Business Improvement District, and many local businesses show support by hosting red donation boxes. The campaign encourages people to give their change to local charities that support the homeless instead of handing money to beggars. Councillor Caroline Horrell, City Councillor's portfolio holder for housing, said, "When people give money with the best of intention to those begging in Winchester, it can perpetuate the problem by keeping individuals at risk and encouraging them to continue a life on the streets. Our aim is to stop this cycle of begging."
Boost for Arts Project. A new arts programme by an Eastleigh theatre has been given a boost. Winchester-based business Denplan is supporting by the Point's new arts programme called Improve for Schools. Denplan's community fund gave £1,500 to enable pupils at Cantell School in Southampton to take part in the programme. Improve for Schools plays with improvisation to instil confidence, spontaneity and teamwork in young people. Improvisation also allows total creative freedom, meaning the students are able to explore their imagination to make their own stories, supported by skilled teachers and the Point's workshop leaders. Improve for works to show how students, that they can be successful in creative activities, increasing their confidence and help them to realise their true potential across all subjects. Cantel School are running a crowdfunding programme supported by Funded and The Point to raise the funds for two more schools to take part.
Gearing up for Pole Challenge. A group of Hampshire adventurers are getting ready for an expedition of a lifetime. HSX Antarctica is hoping to be the first group of scouts to reach the South Pole when they take up their epic expedition in 2018. The group includes Matt Prince, 22, from Sparsholt, Joe Doherty, 22, from Andover, Oliver Robinson, 25, from Portsmouth, Chris Slater, 27, from Petersfield, and David Holmes-Evans, 22, from Poole. Ahead of their challenge, they took on the Jurassic Triple Challenge, where they ran three marathons over 3 days from Lyme Regis Bay through to Studland. The tough coastline made this ideal preparation for the tougher challenges yet to face the group. Last year, the group took on four grueling challenges, including running the length of the Clarendon Way, pulling tyres. Their challenge in 2018 will see them cover more than 700 miles in each direction from Hercules Inlet to the pole. They will have to overcome crippling cold temperatures below minus 50 degrees centigrade and could face winds of more than 80 miles per hour. In addition, the team will work alongside the Motor Neurone Disease Association to raise awareness for the plight of patients suffering from motor neurone disease and the difficulties faced by caring families. To find out more, visit hsxantarctica.org.uk.
Volunteers attend friending course. More local people have successfully completed Friends of the Families 5 to 13's befriending training course in Winchester. It means Sally Clark, Sue King, Leslie Moody and Karen Reed are ready to support children and families. The role requires the volunteer to visit the child with whom they have been carefully matched once a week for 2 hours. When asked why she wanted to become a befriender, Ms. Reed said, "I am a retired health visitor and nurse. And I know how much voluntary organisations mean to people, so for me it was important to give something back." Sue King said, "I wanted to continue to work with children, and because it's only 2 hours a week, it fits in with my other commitments. It ticks all the boxes, and I feel I will be fully supported." During the training, the volunteers met one of the charity's current befrienders, Jerry Harwood, who has been with Friends of the Family since July 2015. Jerry was able to give a personal insight into her role and the activities that she undertakes with her focused child. The trainees also heard from guest speaker Kevin Knight. Friends of the Family is running its next befriender training course in early October. Please call Lisa Travers on 01962 864466 to find out more.
Changes to TV licence. Major changes to TV licences will come into effect on September the 1st. A change in the law means that licences will be needed by anyone downloading or watching TV programmes, including catch-up TV, on the BBC iPlayer. And with research showing iPlayer is the most popular form of watching catch-up TV online for students, TV licensing is aiming to make them aware of the changes, or they could face fines of £1,000. TV licensing research shows that 2 in 3 students watch catch-up TV online, with only 22% taking a television with them to university. Students who already have a license will be covered automatically, while one will not be needed to watch the other on-demand services such as Netflix or ITV player. The new rules apply to all devices, including smart TVs, desktop computers, laptops, mobiles, tablets and games consoles. Ben Craig, spokesman for TV Licensing London and the South East, said, "Watching catch-up TV is really popular among students, and we want to make sure students are aware of the change in the law. From September the 1st, everyone will need to be covered by a TV licence to watch BBC TV programmes on demand, including catch-up on iPlayer. Students can check our dedicated TV licence for students page whether they are correctly licensed before the big move. If you are at university, you can visit tvlicensing.co.uk/studentinfo.
Call for youngsters to join council training schemes. Youngsters awaiting their GCSE results are being encouraged to join council training schemes before applications close at the end of the month. Hampshire County Council's first traineeship is aimed at 16 to 19-year-olds with grade E or below in Maths and English GCSE and includes work experience, volunteering and employability sessions. Traineeship Plus is designed for those with grades D or above, offering a 20-week work placement and more employment support. Both courses lead to a nationally recognised qualification supported by Reed Employment Agency. Placements are often available in construction, business administration, health and social care, highways and catering. Applications for the current crop close on August the 29th, with courses starting on September the 12th.
Thank you. That concludes the extracts for this week. So thanks to our editors, Margaret Boyden and Linda Vincent. Thanks to our copying, dispatch and memory stick preparation teams. And of course, thanks to our readers, Margaret Boyden.
Goodbye.
Tim Hunt.
Goodbye.
Albie Minns.
Bye.
And from me, Keith Vincent, goodbye, and do have an enjoyable week. When you finish with this week's recording, please put the memory stick back in the wallet and return it as soon as possible, placing the address label inside the wallet. Thank you.